Hey everybody, this is Tom Westcott from Trinity Lutheran Church, and you're listening to Trinity's newest podcast, What's the Point? We're going to dive deep into some church stuff, some life stuff, some theological nuggets. We're just going to be talking about what's the point of being church? What's the point of doing the things we do? So I'm excited to have this new adventure start with a couple of my great friends here at Trinity Lutheran Church, and I'll pass it around.
My name's Katie O'Connell.
What do you do, Katie?
I am the digital communications coordinator, so all things social media, now podcast production. You can find me in the sound booth on Sundays and Wednesdays.
Woohoo!
Yeah, it's a good old time.
And I'm Heather Day. I am the children and family ministry director here at Trinity, and just celebrated my 10th anniversary working here at Trinity in at least 4 different roles. So, but I've been in this one for a year and a half. So, yeah.
Well, thank you all for joining us again for episode 1 of this new venture. The first few episodes, we are going to be talking about kind of what's the point of why we are Lutheran, why we're a member of the ELCA, which is the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. That's our specific denomination. And then why we're a Reconciling in Christ congregation. So join us for these first 3 episodes as we dive deeper into discovering and wondering what's the point of who we are as Lutherans, as ELCA Lutherans, and as Reconciling in Christ congregation. All right, but Katie, before we do that, I want to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point of doing a podcast? Because just about everyone has a podcast. Mm-hmm. I mean, even TikTok stars have podcasts.
This is true. I think the biggest point is because, I'm the youngest one of the 3 of us, and I'm only 27, but I have a lot of church questions, like a lot of church questions. And I think that's a very common theme that we see amongst churchgoers, especially younger ones. But I would also say even up to older ones. And like, you know, why do we do things the way we do? Why do we believe the things that we believe? So having a place where we can come and kind of answer some of those questions, I think will be very helpful for a lot of people and hopefully help us to understand and kind of form our faith better.
And Katie, are you a big podcast listener?
No. I've actually recently gotten into a couple. It took me a really long time, but I've realized that so my family lives in River Falls, and so I make that drive. It's like an hour-ish drive, a little over, pretty regularly, and listening to the same old music over and over and over can get kind of boring. So I found some really fun podcasts that I do like to listen to. So
are they true crime podcasts?
Not yet. one of them is from the girls from One Tree Hill, and I'm obsessed. It's so good. Yeah, so I've recently gotten into them, but I know that you're a big podcast person.
I am.
Yeah.
I mean, I've listened to podcasts for a long time, mm-hmm. since back in the Serial days, if you're looking for like an old, really good podcast.
Oh.
Serial was like the OG.
Oh.
But now, yeah, I listen to podcasts a lot. Mostly when I walk my dog. That happened this morning, but mm-hmm. a lot. I have a library on my phone of a lot of podcasts. So I'm excited.
What's your go-to podcast right now? Like, you're going to go back to your office and you're going to throw a podcast on.
Oh, I mean, that's such a hard question because it depends on the mood. I listen to a lot of political podcasts, some churchy podcasts. But I was just telling you guys before the show about a new podcast I was just listening to this morning that I'm in the middle of the episode. So that's what I would turn on, is this new one with two female professional runners called Nobody Asked Us with Des Linden and Kara Goucher. So that's been a fun one to listen to.
Yeah, I listen to a few podcasts, mainly just churchy ones. and or sportsy ones. I mean, I definitely have my NFL draft podcast. I have my Vikings podcast. And then I've got some sermon prep podcasts. But yeah, not cool like Heather.
Yeah, that's fair.
Sorry. I also inadvertently get to listen to a lot of fantasy football podcasts.
Oh.
Because I am not the one in my house who listens to those, but someone else in my house does. A lot.
All right, so why are we Lutheran? That's, I think, a big question that a lot of people either wonder or perhaps just forget about. I think in confirmation, we often hit on that topic once or twice a year, and then we're done. And, of course, Lutheran theology and why we're Lutheran is talked about most every Sunday at some point during a sermon. But I think the richness of how the Lutheran faith came to be is often forgotten. And so I think that's a great place to start.
Yeah, I think our first question is, what is a Lutheran? What does that even mean to be a Lutheran? We have lots of people
super cool.
We have lots of people in our congregation who don't come from a Lutheran background, and now they attend this church. And so what is a Lutheran? What makes us different than non-Lutherans?
Yeah, so I guess I would go back all the way to Luther. Sorry, they're starting to giggle because I nerd out about this sort of stuff.
We like it. That's why you're here today.
This is true.
Back in about 1517, actually a little earlier than that, in this medieval era of Germany and Europe, the world as they knew it wasn't anything like we know it now. Like, life expectancy was like 40 years. Like, I just turned 34. Like, I'm not ready to go yet.
Heather would literally be dead.
Yeah. Like, childbirth, like, resulted in death sometimes for the mother or the child. Like, a simple virus could kill you. Democracy, as we know it, just was not at all existent. And so, and the economic disparity between people with power and wealth and the church and regular folks was just drastic. And so this time of the church, I think Christianity was often used as a power tool to keep people oppressed a little bit. You think of like the language, like church services were in Latin, and a common person did not know Latin nor know how to read, so they relied on the priest to communicate what that meant. And, well, you know, sometimes that didn't happen very well. So anyways, Luther lived in this crazy time, and he had this really wacky idea that God's grace did not have to be earned. Like, you didn't have to climb the spiritual ladder of doing good works in order to have God love you. Luther's whole idea was that I'm an imperfect being, and that God just loves me no matter what. And, you know, we can talk about Luther's idea, the fancy term is like justification. But it's really just that God loves you, period.
Which was brand new information at the time.
Oh, right, yeah.
This was not what other people, this was not what was being communicated by the church.
Yes, exactly. And really, like, okay, so there was this, okay, yeah, here we go. there was this Catholic priest named Johann Tetzel. And he would go around Europe selling indulgences. And an indulgence was like a literal piece of paper that you purchased saying that X amount of sins were forgiven from you or a loved one who was in purgatory. And so people would spend all this money, even all the money they had saved up if they were poor, to get sins taken off their account, if you will. And Luther's like, what the hell?
Right?
We can buy salvation? I thought Jesus did that on the cross.
And what did all that money go towards?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The St. Peter's Cathedral or whatever
monuments.
It's called.
Monuments.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it went to material things. And so Luther had a huge issue with this. And so he nailed 95 ideas or theses that he thought how the church could change to be more in line with how he understood it. And so he nailed these ideas to the church door in Wittenberg, where he was a professor. And so that really, we talk about that as the igniting point of the Reformation. And really, it had been bubbling before with other reformers, but that was the tipping point.
And do you know the date that happened? Tom?
Yeah, that was October 31st in 1517.
And do we recognize that in church now at all?
Well, thank you. Yeah, we do. So the last Sunday of every single October in Lutheran churches across the board is Reformation Sunday. So we wear red, we remember the Holy Spirit's work through Martin Luther, and how we are called to constantly be a reforming church. And I mean that by how is God calling us to live anew as church for today, not for 1517 or even 2017, mm-hmm. pre-Hanks Wilson. How are we called to be church today? Sorry, pre-COVID is what I meant by Hanks Wilson.
Oh, that's a whole other story.
So this whole idea of Luther sparking this and being a reforming church, I think, is a big thing for us as Lutherans, and how we're called to constantly discern what God is up to in our lives and how God is calling us to be church in a constantly changing world.
Tom, could you talk for just 1 minute about something you may not be prepared to talk about, but in other traditions we might hear about saints and people that are really venerated, and that's a little mm-hmm. bit different than how we see Martin Luther, because mm-hmm. like, yes, he was the founder of this particular flavor of Christianity that we're a part of, but like, we don't see him as being a perfect figure.
Correct. Yeah. Luther had lots of flaws. He, in particular, in his older age, had a lot of anti-Semitic writings, which is very problematic. But, you know, we can learn about why, perhaps. Not excusing, but understanding why. The question of saint. You know, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, for those of you out there who have gone to Catholic grade school. But a saint in the Catholic tradition is at least someone who has performed a miracle or two miracles or something like that. But, you know, the Lutheran tradition doesn't hold the categorical sort of approval that the Catholic Church has of performing miracles and being approved by the Council of mm-hmm. Cardinals or Bishops. See, I'm terrible. But, you know, as a Lutheran, I lift up folks who, any folk who lives into those God-given vocations as a saint, because they are partnering with God to do God's work here. So I think any one of us can be saints. We are the All Saints. You think of All Saints Sunday, we think of everyone who's gone into the next life with God, but also we're called to do that work right here. So I think we're all saints as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we, of course, have our heroes of faith, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Heather has an amazing resource in her office about holy troublemakers. And I would say all of those folks are saints
in one way or another. Yeah. Stop by and check that out. It's fantastic.
Who's your favorite holy troublemaker?
Oh, gosh. You know, the first one that comes to mind that I was on my calendar recently of holy troublemakers was Mary Oliver, the poet, who, you know, is not necessarily someone that you would think of as a church person, mm-hmm. although there's certainly spirituality in her poetry. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, just the view of the world that she had. And it's just really beautiful. So,
fair.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked Sojourner Truth when that was on your calendar. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, yeah, she's good.
I don't know who that is.
Oh.
Come and visit my office.
Okay. Go visit.
Okay.
Go visit. Okay, so I kind of talked a little bit about the history and nerded out a bit.
Thank you for that.
Yes. But Luther had so many other great points of perhaps how the church might be lived anew in his understanding of the Christian tradition that the Lutheran faith has adopted and kind of, I don't want to say canonized, but, you know, we really take those on as hallmarks of how we understand what it means to be a Christian. Does anyone have a favorite nugget besides this whole justification thing?
I'm happy to go first.
Yeah, go, please.
So these two have heard me tell this story before, but I was recently in California at the Extravaganza, which was a continuing ed opportunity for children, youth, and family ministers in the ELCA. And we got to hear Bishop Layla Ortiz speak, who's from Washington, D.C. area. And she talked about growing up in a non-Lutheran tradition. And then when she was exposed to Lutheran theology, it completely changed her life, because she had been in a tradition where she she was taught that you have to follow all the rules and do all the things in order to hopefully maybe someday earn God's grace. Or I shouldn't even say God's grace, because she said she hadn't really even heard that word grace. But in order to earn God's love, in order to earn a place in the afterlife and whatever. And she heard this Lutheran theology of God's grace for all people, God's love for all people, this vision that all people are made in the image of God, and that creates this kind of full humanity for all people in a way that doesn't necessarily come through in other traditions. Mm-hmm. So there really is this emphasis, because God's grace is for all people, unearned, just a gift from God, that just really affects the way that Lutherans see the world and see each other. Mm-hmm. And I love that so much, this idea that you know, all people are important and mm-hmm. and really have this, our humanity is tied up in our identity as being created in the image of God. So I love that so much. And I love all the ways that we'll, I'm sure, talk about in the future that gets expressed in the church. Yeah, so that's one little theological nugget that I love. And then the other one that I was thinking of is a little more specific, but in confirmation class, at least when I was in confirmation, I'm not sure if you still teach catechism so much in confirmation class, but Luther wrote the large catechism and small catechism, which was basically like a cheat sheet. The large catechism for pastors, the small catechism for at-home use, to kind of translate, like, what's important about the Ten Commandments? What's important about the Apostles' Creed, etc.? And my favorite part of the small catechism, which, wow, that's a nerdy way to start a sentence. My favorite part of the small catechism is Luther's explanation for the Eighth Commandment, which is, you know, thou shalt not bear false witness. And in his, I don't have it in front of me, but basically his explanation for that is, not only should you not tell lies about people, but you should always assume the best of people, right? You should always assume the best of people's intentions and not assume that they are, you know, trying to be devious or bad or whatever. And I just find that is the little nugget that I think of most often in my everyday life. Mm. It's like, oh yeah, let's just assume the best of, you know, whatever we're seeing in people.
But not in a naive way, right? But like...
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I like the first part you lifted up, because not that I didn't like the second part, but it gets to that idea of vocation, that our full humanity being created in the image of God, all of our callings in life are indeed holy. Luther wrote once that his job as a pastor is equally as holy as someone who's changing a diaper, who makes shoes, or who cuts hair. Like, they are all equally holy because they all are living into a calling from God. So if you're out there changing a diaper or breastfeeding right now at 2 a.m. in the morning, your work is holy right now. Equally as holy as someone else's. Mm-hmm.
That is something people need to hear more often.
It is. Well, and especially too, because it's like, for me anyway, I went to college, got my communications degree, you know, all that good stuff. But I had like this huge just panic attack basically in my program director's office on like the third day of fall semester of my senior year, because I went in and I'm like, Mitch, I don't think I'm in the right major. And I don't know how to go about this. And it was very difficult, because then, you know, I ended up finishing with my communications degree, no big deal. And I went and had initially gone to seminary and learned that seminary was not for me. I was really struggling with it. I think I was just also really burnt out of being a student. But that lingering question of, what am I supposed to do? just was in the back of my head. Not even the back. It was like, it took up my entire brain capacity. And I feel like having a calling in that sense is talked about so often when, you know, when you're in a church setting. Like, mm-hmm. oh, this is what you're called to do. You know, you're called to be a pastor. You're called to be a youth director. You're called to be whatever. And some people just, that's not for them. And so having that reminder, that really simple reminder that, like, where you are is, you know, even if it's not long term, that's where you're supposed to be. That is where you're called to be today. That could change tomorrow. That can change in a year. That can change in however long. And it might never change. But everything is a calling from God. It's not just those who are working in a church. Like, I don't know, seems to be sometimes. Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if we sometimes lack that, I call it a holy imagination, that all those things are indeed holy and mm-hmm. and good and from God. So anyways, I have a nugget that I really like. And
let's hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the fancy Latin term is simul justus et peccator, which translated into English is essentially being a saint and a sinner at the same time, simultaneously saint and sinner.
Ooh. I've seen really cool t-shirts
where it's that like logo inverted.
On it. Yeah. It's a saint, and then you flip it over, it says sinner.
Yeah.
Very cool graphic design. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
And I love that because it gets at kind of the real who we are as imperfect beings. Yes, we are created in the image of God, mm-hmm. but we are imperfect. And that's okay, right? Like, as a parent of three kids, I feel like my fuse is really quick and I get frustrated really easy. And thank goodness I have a six-year-old who is very socially and emotionally aware. And she says, Dad, maybe you should take a couple breaths. Yes.
That's amazing.
I get parenting advice from six-year-olds. Yes. But the point being is that in my vocation as dad, I can do great things and I can struggle too. And knowing that that's part of who I am as created in the image of God is okay. But I don't have to get hung up on how yes, I want to be a better parent and do better, but I don't have to let that weigh me down. And Luther had this, sorry, I've got it written up here of what Luther said, but he pretty much said that because Jesus has taken on all of those sins for us already, like, that those don't define us. Because we are also in that act of God's saving, however you want to think of the cross and atonement and all that. We could do a whole other series on that.
Ooh.
That's going
to
be
true.
Heavy.
Do the people want to hear about that?
Probably not.
Let us know.
Yeah.
Let us know.
But those questions of, like, am I good enough already? Like, the cross says yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the cross to me says, Tom, you can struggle. I love you. I want you to be a better parent, but I love you still. Mm-hmm. And that to me, oh, it's that exhale.
Mm-hmm.
It's that release that, okay, I can take my three breaths. Thank you, Olive. And and try again. But, and for me, again, being a saint and a sinner at the same time, perhaps just like you said, Heather, for the eighth commandment, resets me to think, okay, how can I see the best in others and see the best in myself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
All right, so we've kind of talked a little bit about why or how the Lutheran Church came to be, a little bit about what we like about the big Lutheran nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
But is there anything else that really hits home to you in your everyday life of how you live out being a Lutheran? And Heather's already kind of started us down that road. Is there anything else that really helps you?
Well, I'm just looking at our notes here, mm-hmm. and we have the bullet point, why are you a Lutheran? And for all three of us, maybe, at least two of us, I know the answer is, well, because my parents were. All of us, yes?
Mostly. My mom was Lutheran, my dad was Catholic,
mm-hmm.
but dad never went to church, so mom was kind of left with that responsibility.
Gotcha. Yeah. So why am I a Lutheran? Well, because I always have been is the easy and comfortable answer, which, again, Bishop Layla Ortiz reminded me that being comfortable about something is a privilege. So, yes, what a privilege it is to, you know, have grown up in this tradition and with this faith kind of embedded in me. But the thing that I think about how being Lutheran affects how I live, or how you know, why I'm still here, basically, in this Lutheran church. I know that I have had the experience of going to other churches and seeing other denominations, and I, you know, and maybe other people have had this experience where you go and you go to a worship service and you're like, that's nice, but something just feels a little bit off about it, and I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah.
Always. And one of the things that I've come to realize that I really appreciate about being in this Lutheran church is that because we see all the people around us as, you know, fully human, children of God, important people, we have this way of valuing community and faith in community in a way that doesn't always translate in other traditions, where maybe more the focus is on your personal faith and what you personally do, and doing all the things yourself. You know, I think of Nadia Boltz-Weber is a pastor in the ELCA, and she talks a lot about how we don't have to have all the faith ourselves every day. You know, we can say, there's a reason why we say the Apostles' Creed in a corporate setting, doing it all together, because I might not believe that today. I might not be able to believe this part today, but the person sitting next to me probably does. And so they are holding me and making it okay for me to, you know, I'll still say the words and that's fine. And the community around me is holding me up in that moment. Rather than me needing to take on the burden of, if I don't believe this today, well, then what's going to happen? You know, like, so all that pressure on yourself. And so I just love that we really have this focus on community. And that's part of the reason why, you know, worshiping together is so important for us. So that I really love that and appreciate that. I think I appreciate that more as I get older, and just recognizing that, like, oh, yeah, all these people are here to help. We, you know, we're here to help carry each other's burdens and lift each other up. And I think that's really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know that I have an answer as good as that, to be honest.
And thanks for listening.
Yeah, right? No, it's, a lot of times I sit and think, okay, what really sets me being Lutheran apart from me being, you know, anything else, from me being Catholic, from me being Baptist, from whatever. And I think for me, I mean, we touched on this quite a bit already, but it's that aspect of grace. Like, we don't, you know, there are days where I just feel like just a god-awful person, you know? And it's that kind of thing where you're sitting there in your self-pity and you're like, gosh, I don't deserve anything good in the world. And then you go to church on Sunday and you're just like, oh my gosh, this is what it feels like to be loved still. This is awesome. And so I think that for me, that's also something that I really try to live into myself, is just showing a lot of people a lot of grace, because nobody's perfect. And, you know, I think hopefully all of us are able to recognize that. And so having that space, like holding that space, and kind of that, I don't know, I don't want to say gift, but that practice of showing people grace has been just impactful in a lot of ways, both in my faith life and my everyday life. Plus, I think too, one of the things that I really appreciate about being Lutheran is being able, like, so like I said, my dad's Catholic, and so we've been able to have a lot of very interesting conversations about that, because while they are very similar, they're also drastically different. And so just kind of being able to compare and contrast and make sense of why Lutherans believe what they believe and how that fits into my life and how it makes sense to me has just been good. It's just been good and is bringing a lot of light and will continue to bring a lot of light into this topic for me. Yeah, I don't really know if that answers the question, but, you know, it is what it is.
No, it does.
Yeah.
It does. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to our first episode of our reinvented podcast, where we're talking about what's the point of a lot of stuff. And this season, we're talking about what's the point of being Lutheran and ELCA and reconciling in Christ. So we hope you join us for our next episode. We'll see you next time.